Chapter 17. While Pitt was on a flight to Ottawa, Canada, Giordino called his plane and briefed him on the mystery yacht. "There is no doubt?" asked Pitt. "Not in my book," replied Giordino. "It's almost a dead certainty the boat that fled the death scene belongs to the Dorset family."
The plot thickens.
"You might also be interested in learning that the Admiral asked the Navy to conduct a satellite search of the central and eastern belt of the Pacific Ocean. The yacht was discovered and tracked. It made a brief layover in Hawaii and then continued on toward your goal."
"Kunghit Island?
Then I can kill two stones with one bird."
"You're just full of pathetic clichés this morning."
"What does the yacht look like?"
"Unlike any boat you've ever seen before. Strictly a space-age design."
"I'll keep an eye out for it," Pitt promised.
"I know it's a waste of breath saying this," Giordino said cynically, "but stay out of trouble."
"I'll wire if I need money," Pitt laughed as he hung up, thankful that he had a caring friend like Albert Cassius Giordino. After landing and renting a car, Pitt took the bridge across the Rideau River into Ottawa, the Canadian capital city. The weather was colder than the inside of a refrigerator, and the landscape appeared ugly and barren without leaves on the trees. The only havens of color that sprang from a thick sheet of snow covering the ground were scattered stands of green pines. He glanced over the railing at the river below. The river, which ran into the Ottawa River and thence into the mighty St. Lawrence, was flowing under a coating of ice. Canada was an incredibly beautiful country, thought Pitt, but its harsh winters should be sent far to the north, never to return. As he drove across the bridge over the Ottawa River and into the small city of Hull, he glanced at his map and memorized the streets leading to a group of three upscale buildings that housed several government offices. The one he was looking for was Environment Canada, a department of the government that corresponded to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency in Washington. A security guard at a gatehouse gave him directions and waved him through. Pitt slipped the car into a slot in the visitor's parking lot and entered the building. A quick glance at the building directory, and he was into the elevator and on his way up to Environment Canada's offices. A receptionist nearing retirement looked up and forced a thin smile.
"May I help you?"
"My name is Pitt. I have an appointment with Mr. Edward Posey."
"One moment."
She dialed a number, announced his arrival, and then nodded.
"Please take the hallway down to the doorway at the end."
Pitt thanked her and did as he was told. A pretty red-haired secretary met him at the door and ushered him into Posey's office. A short man with glasses and a beard rose from his chair, leaned over the desk, and pressed Pitt's extended hand.
"A pleasure to see you again, Dirk. How long has it been?"
11 years ago, during the spring of 1989.
"Yes, the Doodlebug Project. We met at the conference when you gave a report on your discovery of the oil field near Baffin Island."
"I need a favor, Ed." Posey nodded to a chair. "Sit down, sit down. What exactly can I do for you?" "I'd like your permission to investigate the mining activities being conducted at Kunghit Island." "You talking about Dorset Consolidated's operations?" Pitt nodded. "The same. NUMA has reason to believe their excavating technology is having a devastating effect on sea life as far away as the Antarctic." Posey gave him a thoughtful look. "This have anything to do with that Australian cruise ship and its dead passengers?"
"Any connection is purely circumstantial at this date."
"But you have your suspicions?" Posey inquired.
"We do."
"Natural Resources Canada is who you should talk to."
"I don't think so.
If your government operates anything like mine, it would take an act of Parliament to allow an investigation onto land that is legally leased by a mining company. Even then, Arthur Dorset is too powerful to allow that to happen."
"It would seem you've crawled into a pipe with no outlet," said Posey.
"There is a way out," Pitt said, smiling, "providing you cooperate." Posey looked uneasy. "I can't authorize you to snoop around Dorset's diamond mine, certainly not without hard evidence of unlawful damage to the environment."
"Maybe, But you can hire my services to check out the spawning habits of cauliflower-nosed salmon. Spawning season is almost over. Besides, I've never heard of a cauliflower-nosed salmon.
Neither have I.
You'll never fool security at the mine. Dorset hires the best in the business. British ex-commandos and American Special Forces veterans.
I don't have to climb the fence onto mining property, explained Pitt. I can find all I require with instruments while sailing around the inlets of Kunghead Island.
In a survey boat?
I was thinking of a canoe, local color and all.
Forget the canoe. The waters around Kunghead are treacherous. The waves roll in out of the Pacific and pound the rocky shores like you wouldn't believe.
You make it sound unsafe.
If the sea doesn't get you, Posey said seriously, Dorset's goon squad will.
So I'll use a bigger boat and carry a harpoon, Pitt said cynically.
Why don't you simply go on the property with a bona fide team of Canadian environmental engineers and blow the whistle on any shady operations?
Pitt shook his head. A waste of time.
Dorset's foreman would only close down the mine until they left. Better to investigate when their guard isn't up.
Posey stared past Pitt out the window for several seconds. Then he shrugged.
Okay, I'll arrange for you to work under contract with Environment Canada to investigate the kelp forest around Kunghead Island. You're to study any possible damage to the kelp from chemicals running into the sea from the mining operations. How does that sound?
Thank you, Pitt said sincerely. How much do I get paid?
Posey picked up on the joke. Sorry, you're not in the budget. But I might be persuaded to buy you a hamburger at the nearest fast food joint.
Done.
One more thing. Are you going it alone?
One does not look as suspicious as two.
Not in this case, said Posey grimly. I strongly advise you to take along one of the local Indians as a guide. That will give you more of an official look. Environment Canada works closely with the tribes to prevent pollution and save forested land. A researcher and a local fisherman working on a project for the government should dilute any doubts by Dorset security.
Do you have a name in mind? Asked Pitt.
Mason Broadmoor, a very resourceful guy. I've hired him before on a number of environmental projects.
An Indian with the name of Mason Broadmoor?
He's a member of the Haida who live on the Queen Charlotte Islands of British Columbia. Most of them took British names generations ago. They're excellent fishermen and are familiar with the waters around Kunghead Island.
Is Broadmoor a fisherman?
Not really, but he's very creative.
Creative at what?
Posey hesitated for a few moments, straightened some papers on his desk, and then stared at Pitt rather sheepishly.
Mason Broadmoor, he said finally, carves totem poles.